Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome into this edition of Road Trippin' with RJ and Channing, hosted by Allie Clifton. We are coming to you from the Blue Wire Studios inside the Wynn Las Vegas.
You didn't even drink. You can't say cheers and don't drink the drink.
That's I had to keep luck. Talking. You're right. We want to welcome in. Okay.
Richard What's Allen this? Jefferson.
Richard Allen Jefferson, who is remote.
What's up, guys? I'm so sad to not be there. I'm so sad.
Are you?
You're not here.
No, you're not. No, look. Yes. Yes. See, Allie, so this is what the bad timing was. I think I'm not sure what the timing is going to be, but I might try and catch a flight when we're done working. It might be tight. I'm not sure. And then ultimately, there were no flights. So, you know, we're going to stay Saturday night. So the next morning I text her and I was like, so my kid has COVID. She's probably in her head thinking, oh yeah, that's such a liar. Story.
Here oh, I would have been like, yeah, that's a good move.
He actually sent the COVID test in a picture. And part of me, had it not been for the children, part of me wanted to be like, those are fake COVID tests. You got those off the internet somewhere. That is not true.
Copy and paste exists. You can do it. Richard would go to those lengths. If we were not in Vegas, then yes, I would say yes, probably he did it.
There was actually like a Kiwi in the background.
Oh. It's like my poor little guy. My poor little guy struggling.
Yeah, he's first struggling. Day of school, everyone getting beady bopped by everything.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So, God rest his soul with the COVID,
Richard.
Shout out sending love, good vibes to Phoenix. We do not need a God rest his soul. My goodness. No,
when I say God rest his soul, it's not like in depth. I mean like just like God bless his poor soul.
There we go.
Like
bless.
Little kid.
Bless is the best word.
Bless his little soul, like his little heart. He's just so like whimpery. And Phoenix is louder than me and Channing combined.
Oh, for sure.
So yeah. So he's bigger than that and louder. So for him to be all like meek and just like, oh no, can I have another sip of water?
Look, daddy duty called and you were hilarious. There. So that is why he is tuning in from Southern California. Rich, what do you think of Channing's shirt?
I like my shirt.
I love it. That was the first thing I noticed. I didn't see your shirt. I can't see your shirt, but Channing's shirt.
Excuse me, it's Britney Spears.
Yeah. Dude, I got this shirt. I actually shot for myself and went to Nordstrom's and was like, give me every shirt between 1XL and 3XL, and we're just going to work it out.
Is that an XL?
No, this is a 2XL, but it like, like a regular human 2XL.
I love it.
I get to show off my tats. I'm a little too tan, right? And people think I'm a hardo because I got like a sleeve sort of, except for the places where it really hurts.
but Channing, I just want to make sure that you understand. The print is what I like.
Oh,
print I love.
The little palm tree
print
joints?
The black and the red. You don't really see that often with the Hawaiian shirt.
It's navy.
Now I will say this.
Hashtag
the dark color and the red, right? Tight. I will say though, there is something to be said about like people that start wearing Hawaiian shirts consistently, bro.
Right? They're the coolest people on earth. Hawaiian shirts are
shields. It shields some of the.
But you just saw me 2 days ago, and you said, "Channing, you look good." Are you joking?
I just, you
You're
know,
joking
I just don't
around
want
about how it's impossible to sit down and do like a bent over row and not see your belly. And then when you stand up, you have a resemblance of a six pack. So it's confusing to me sometimes. But no, I wouldn't. First of all, this is not, you can't hide nothing here. You see the delts in this bad boy, right? If I had a little belly, I would have put something on a little bit looser. I had another option. I had option B was if I felt bloated.
Are the deltoids behind you?
No, it's all, I have big shoulders.
Right? Yeah, where are your deltoids, Jimmy?
Yeah, these are the deltoids right there.
Are they?
That's the meat right there.
Get those delts?
Get the delts.
little delta.
Okay.
Speaking of delta, can we actually address something?
Yes, please.
What?
Plane etiquette.
Oh.
Oh.
Is there such thing as plane etiquette?
100%.
Yes.
The number one rule, getting on a plane, don't put your fucking feet on the screen, your bare, nasty dog feet. I have brand new socks on, and I took my shoes off. Look at the bottom of my, those are brand new socks. That's not, we're not on an airplane. We are in a studio. Technically, it's my, where our show is here, so I could do what I want, technically.
You at your, you're
you should
at
see
home,
what I wear when I'm
make,
at home.
Make,
nothing.
Make yourself
I'm naked
at
there.
Home.
Butt naked, doing a
okay,
show.
Okay, so no feet on the screen.
No feet on the screen. Also, if your stomach hurts, turn the fan on. Give me a second. You know you got the little grumblies. Give me a second. To adjust to the bombardment of farts that you are about to release on this little section of the plane. Today, from Portland to LAX, my man, I don't know if he had Indian food, too much tiki masala. What did he eat? Just straight bean burritos. His little tum-tum was hurt on an airplane. And I look at him, like, just give me a warning. I've been in a locker room. Just look at me. I'm not going to snitch on you. Turn it on and just aim it at me. Give me a second. He did not. That's poor form. Poor. And I looked at him. I gave him a strong look in
you
the morning.
Did not.
I looked at him. I said, "This ain't you." This ain't you.
I'm done. I can't.
It was too much. It was too much. But he was tearing that thing up, man. It finally went to the bathroom. I looked at the stewardess like, dang, I'm sorry. Like, that's not me.
Isn't that the worst?
It's the worst.
When everyone looks at you.
I said, look, if you knew it was me, we going to tear this thing up.
Okay, so that's one, two. Rich, do you have any other etiquette? No.
Oh, no,
oh,
we lost Richard.
Rich. Just kidding. Are you still there, Richard?
There he goes. He's coming back.
I'm here.
He unplugged the HDMI wire. I'm crying literally because today I could not wait to tell that story about this play. I looked at the dude. I said, look,
ready.
Hey, he was acting like he was doing his calendar. I said, you better stop it. Stop.
Okay, what's your plane etiquette, Rich? I actually have a question while you gather yourself because I think there should be a plane etiquette or rules. I actually tweeted this last week. If you are in the back, which is me, and there are three seats, you're not a window, you're not an aisle, which makes you a middle. But if you are a window seat and you have to get out and go to the bathroom, do you wake up the people beside you and say,
can you
please get up so that I can go to the bathroom? Or do you proceed to let them sleep and climb over them?
You can't ask me to do that. I'm 7 foot tall. Am I going to just
climb over people?
That would be.
You climb over. Stop it.
What? I'm, yes.
No.
But you have to understand our leg size is a lot different. Like where, like just to step over, like, cause now, okay, let's also discuss a couple of things here. Typically when I fly, I go to New York, that's where I go often. So it's more of like a lay flat bed situation. It's not like the triple seats. Like I can't even front. I can't even lie.
You're never in the back with us.
Don't say us. I haven't been back here in 20 years. Don't say us. I'm 7 foot. I tried it once.
I'm talking about me
and
everyone else.
Yeah, you got to wake them up.
Yeah.
Hey, you got to wake them up.
You got to tell us. Sorry. We're asking you the question. What do you do?
So
what do
last week, I actually got upgraded to Delta Comfort, but I was a middle seat, which kills me. But it was an upgrade, so I took it. Normally, I am a window seat through and through, and I just won't go to the bathroom until I'm done, period. So I'm in a middle seat. And the woman on my left had to get out, but the woman on my right was dead asleep, knocked out, blanket, everything. And the woman proceeded to just walk over both of us. But when she got to the outside, she was in her lap and the woman woke up. So my point is, and she was like hands on the seat and they were just eye to eye like this.
See, that's what I mean.
Don't know
each
other.
Don't do it.
So my point is you should
just get that little kiss.
But just go,
just go back to sleep. Could you imagine if that was like an unsavory human and Allie was trying to crawl over top? Like, he probably acted like he's asleep all the time.
You start giving him, you start giving him butterfly kisses. Go back to sleep. Go back to sleep.
Shout out Delta. I love Delta.
You put a little melatonin in their mouth. You're like, shh, my bad.
You just take a really, you just take a really deep breath slowly while looking him in the eye.
So there, we gave you etiquette 1, 2, and 3. My etiquette is wake the person up, ask them kindly. Thank Sorry. You. Please, will you get up so I can use the restroom?
Oh, man. I'm
Richard,
crying.
What's your etiquette?
I don't, you know.
Channing covered it.
I don't really have.
The bare feet thing is wild to me.
Yeah, I don't have. Why you? I don't have plain etiquette. I mind my own business. I think sometimes you should switch with people, but not all the time. Like, I want the family to sit together, but like, I can't. Like,
you're not putting me in bulkhead for 5.5 hours.
I'm too big to be sitting on. No, it's like, I'm not talking about like a mother and daughter or something, but it's like if it's two buddies that like want to fly together, like
text them. Get the GoGo Air and right, text them. You'll be all right.
Like, nope. Yeah, like that's it. I don't cause no problems. Me, I'm normally so stressed getting to the airport because I am historically miss more flights than most human beings on a year-to-year basis. So that's why I'm more stressed about than
Richard,
other
people.
I'll show up dripping sweat.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not disgusting.
I've sprinted through many an airport.
If I have to sprint, I will get a new flight. I refuse.
Stop
yeah,
it.
I will not sprint. I've seen people tweet at me like, hey, Jefferson, did I just see you sprinting through fucking LAX? Like, yep, that was me.
Standard. Nope. Rich, how was your fantasy draft? How'd that go?
Fantasy went well, you know, good year, but I will say this. So I wasn't able to attend my fantasy draft, because I want to give a shout out to Lynn Merritt,
Lynn,
VP of Nike basketball, the legend. Len hits me up and goes, hey, Rich, you know, love for you to come to my retirement. So I'm like, cool, Lynn, I'm there, man. 100%. Lynn is like the godfather of Nike basketball. Then like a couple days later, I start getting emails and I'm like, why am I on emails list talking about the guest list? And I'm like, and then Lynn calls me. He's like, oh yeah, yeah. So I was going to ask you, would you like to MC it? And I'm like, yeah, Lynn, 100% for you, bro.
Anything for you. 100%.
Yeah, you ain't telling Lynn no.
Anything for you. Right. And I ain't going to tell Lynn no, but it's on the same day as my fantasy football draft. So I'm like, oh, damn it. Okay. So then next thing I know, Lynn's like, okay, so this is what it is. There's a panel. And I'm like, okay, well, who's going to be on the panel? He goes, real chill. It's Bo Jackson, Charles Barkley, LeBron, Scottie Pippen, Gary Payton, and Ken Griffey Jr. And I'm like, the fuck am I doing up here? Like, why am I
was wondering the same thing.
Like, Channing has a beer. As Channing walks in, Channing and Kevin.
Oh, I'm in the crowd loving this.
Channing walks in. Yeah, so he's laughing. He's like, yo, you want some of this beer? And I'm like, yeah, man, I'm nervous. He goes, I don't know why. It's not like you're about to interview our entire childhood. And you're just like, bro, like I was like American icons up there. And they were like, yeah, you know, there's so much all the Hall of Famers up here. I'm like, man, if y'all don't stop with your accolades.
It would take too long to go through. It was wild.
Yeah.
Even for me, I don't really. Being around certain players, one at a time, to see all them. That was like literally my room when I was 11 or 12. Like each poster meant so much.
Including LeBron.
No. We're not doing that. I do.
You gave him enough love. You've given him enough.
I wore his shoes my senior year of college. His strap shoes. The second ones, which are the. I think his second shoe was my favorite shoe of all time because it had a strap on it. So.
Wait, I actually wore those too my senior year.
You had a strap on?
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
Okay. Edit. So with that said, Richard, fantasy draft went well, apparently, is what you're telling me.
I literally just repeated what you said. Yeah, my draft went great. So I missed, long story short, shout out to Lynn. It was an honor to be up on that panel. It was kind of crazy. Fantasy draft went trash, but went to the football game. that went trash. Rams lost. Woke up the next morning, my kid had COVID, and you guys are in Vegas on Friday night.
Oh,
that's been my last few days.
You're trash.
Well, we're excited to be here. And having said that, we actually have a really special guest who is about to join us. I think it'll be very intriguing and fun. Channing actually has something in common with this individual. But before we get to him,
Eskimo brothers.
I want to share with you guys something about our next partner who has a product that we all love. Personally, we take it every single morning, a scoop of Athletic Greens and 8 ounces of water. Obviously, we got tired of taking pills and vitamins and all the things. And when it comes to Athletic Greens, 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, it contains it all. It's wonderful. And so we want to extend a fun offer to you guys. So to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free. I brought mine with me, Channing. Travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/roadtrippin, take ownership over your health, and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Again, go to athleticgreens.com/roadtrippin. Get started today, AG1.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Having said that, Rich, Channing, here is our guest. You really need no introduction, but I'm going to give you one.
Before we even give him an introduction.
Okay.
Dude. Those shoes are ridiculous. I don't know if people can pan to the shoe. Do we have the ability? Just take the shoe off and put it in the camera shot.
No, they can't.
Absolutely, you can.
Yes, you can.
Channing doesn't have shoes on either.
Because I have those shoes in black and blue, and those green ones are so fire. So fire. Okay, put it back on. Sorry, I smell like French onion soup in here.
Our guest, his name is Sean Kelly. You can find him at Sean Mike Kelly on Instagram, and you are the founder. You wear many hats, my friend. Thank you for joining us, first and foremost. Jersey Champs, help me with this.
Chibi Dinos,
NFT, Delicious, and Environment. What else? Am I missing?
That's pretty much it. Now I'm part of a company called Infinite World, too.
Wow. Oh, explain that. What's that? Wow. That sounds tight.
Sounds like it's endless. Yeah, we'll just jump into it. So after Chibi Dinos, I started an NFT marketing agency that got acquired by a company called Infinite World.
Damn.
So now I'm their VP of marketing.
Is that for like Web3 stuff?
Yeah.
Tight.
I feel like we should just go there first.
Let's go there first.
Because there are individuals like me.
Can someone tell me what Web3 is?
Let's do it.
Listen.
So, explain it to him as simply as you can. And then maybe if it needs to get more simple, my dumbass can explain it to
you. Channing will dumb it down. You will dumb it down. Then Channing will dumb it down to me.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's basically digital ownership. So instead of owning a physical item, Web3 is more digital. So they call them NFTs. And there's all sorts of utility and stuff. But a good example would be NBA Top Shot, which I'm sure you guys are familiar with. They were sort of the first big company to launch NFTs and jump into the Web3 space.
Do you guys have them?
What?
Of yourself?
Yeah.
You guys are on Top Shop, right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know if Richard is. No, but I just.
I saw you tweeting it.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
No, I just got a, like, so I literally.
Did you? Was that when you got dunked up by Amari?
Or something. Shut up. When it was like a StubHub.
Do you know it?
I haven't seen that one. I need to see it now.
It's number two next to Steph. Only because of me. I'm repeatedly selling it and buying it back.
Yeah, but it's like. Not even like that impressive. Like Amari dunked on everyone.
This is also true. It just like, is you, Rick.
And he's like, and I'm 6'6" and he's 6'9". Like what the funniest shit was like, what was I doing even trying? I should have never tried. That was the biggest mistake.
He said,
I know how that feels. I just played against a 6'10" guy last night in the Lifetime League.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Wait, Lifetime League?
Yeah.
Yeah, Lifetime Fitness.
Oh, LA Fitness. You always talk about that.
It's different. Lifetime is different than LA Fitness, Allie.
But is the vibe still the same?
How do you know?
I'm just going by what he said. I don't know.
So there's different levels to it?
Yeah, there's like a league where ex-pros and ex-college people can play in.
Okay.
And I got thrown on some random team, and I'm just getting bodied.
Oh. So wait, hold on. Hold on. What college did you go to?
I went to Rutgers, but I didn't play basketball there.
Oh. Yeah. Are you from?
I'm from New Jersey.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So okay, so who, since we're going here, this is how I like to operate. Who's on your New Jersey Hall of Fame? Like, them dudes from New Jersey.
Oh, those were the good days. I miss when the Nets were in Jersey. Okay. Vince Carter.
Okay.
Number one.
All time?
Just for you personally.
Oh, for me, yeah. It's got to be the big three. Vince Carter, Jason Kidd, Richard Jefferson.
Over Kenyon Martin?
I guess
Kenyon was only there for like 2 years. Kenyon was in there, but Kenyon was only there 3 years.
Over Kerry Kittles?
Yeah.
Skittles, Kerry.
If you don't mind me asking, what year were you born?
1997.
Okay.
Gosh.
That was great.
That's crazy.
Wow. I was
That's
looking crazy. At a pair of 1997 Air Maxes like, oh, man, those are the days, dog. I was like eighth grade.
Yeah, I don't know.
So wait,
did they fit?
No, they didn't have my size. It was depressing. It was really depressing. I was like, oh, they have a 12, and that's not going to even fit my toe. So let's get back to this.
Yeah, I need the whole breakdown of the NFT thing, though.
Okay.
How do they work? What's the whole...
Like, give us your spiel.
Yeah.
Like, if we are like, hey, we got $1,000, $1,000,000. Give us a spiel. We know nothing about NFTs. Give us that and the listeners, the breakdown. Give us a piece of paper talk.
Yeah. So how I got started was buying NBA Top Shots. Right. So I put in a couple hundred grand into those. You know, actually made some money selling some, lost money on some, learned a lot about NFTs doing that. And then that's when I think I made the shift to launch my own NFT.
Right.
That's when I launched Chibi Dinos. And that's where I think the real money is, when you're launching your own or helping brands launch their own. When you're investing in them, it's very risky. It's like cryptocurrency, you know, it's very volatile. So I don't usually recommend that route for most people.
That's right. Okay.
So yeah, basically I launched mine and it sold out in 18 minutes, $2.4 million.
Damn.
What?
Yeah. And literally just changed my life overnight with that.
I mean, shit, of course it would. I don't know what kind of life you had before that, but $2.4 million in a couple minutes.
Like, how do you find that out? Are you sitting there, watching this? Are you?
Yeah, I'm literally sitting in my house. I got 1942 in one hand, my phone in the other hand, just watching the sales coming in live. I was really nervous leading up to it because I didn't know if it would do well.
Right.
But, yeah, we started celebrating from there.
So what's next for you?
Yeah.
I mean, go ahead, Richard.
That changed my life. That changed my life right now. I'd do some shit differently right now. You give me an extra $2 million.
Pardon my ignorance with this, when did NFTs become a thing, one? And when did you see it really change the game?
I truly believe Top Shot put NFTs on the map because they were the first big company to make this sort of go viral. Mm-hmm. And they're still doing $10, $20 million a month in volume.
Wow.
Which is a lot of money. But at their peak, I know they were doing $50 to $100 million a month.
Wow.
So these brands entering the space can expect an extra 8-9-figure revenue stream if they do it right.
And Chibi Dinos is just something that you created on your own?
Yeah, me and my girlfriend made it literally on vacation, came up with the idea and did it all in a week. It's crazy.
So wait, okay, so let's...
I'm so blown away by
this. Dude, this is amazing, right? This is one of those things you're like, oh, this is like a door stopper. Yeah, I made a door stopper, except it lives endlessly. So from the beginning, from Rutgers to where you are now, give the people who may not know it, give them your kind of story. And then what we like to hear is there a story where you were doing something, whether you were working at Starbucks or you had a 9-to-5 job, in a desk, and you were like, fuck this. And then you were like, I'm going to go out and make some Chibi Dinos, right? What is that story? Give us that from your perspective, from Rutgers on.
Yeah, so Rutgers on. So graduated high school in 2015 and then went to Rutgers. I tried to get in the business school, ironically, but my GPA wasn't high enough. So I couldn't get into the business school, really wanted to do marketing. And that kind of pissed me off because I really wanted to do it, but couldn't pass geometry class, unfortunately.
Geometry sucks.
Yeah.
It's the worst. Same here, bro.
I actually was a math and science major.
Geometry sucks.
Fuck off, Allie. Nobody likes to kiss ass.
Yeah. So I was, you know, a bro college student like we all were at one point. Mm-hmm. And I would go to the tailgates and the parties and people were wearing jerseys, every single dude.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, all right, this market's huge. They're all wearing NBA jerseys though. And there's not really any other type of jerseys. Like you couldn't customize your own stuff at the time. And I just kind of found my own lane by partnering with music artists and companies and creating cool designs that, you know, weren't made before. Like an artist would come to me and want to put their album artwork on a jersey and, you know, their fan base would eat it up. So that's sort of how I got started.
That's Jersey Champs.
Jersey Champs, yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
And it's not just sports. Totally. It's also celebrities. It's movies, et cetera. You have, did you know this?
I think I did. Yeah, yeah.
Not him.
I think I DM'd him. I was like, yo, what's up with these? Do you have this? I'm pretty particular about the sweaters that I have. So jerseys, everyone thinks a hockey jersey is called a jersey. It's a hockey sweater. So I had a hockey sweater made
thank
in my-
Thank you for that, Chad.
Yes,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for clarifying.
Like, regardless, we are connected and we still wear those same sweaters, right? I think I got the- the head coach of the, which is so wild that you even had that. So it's the, but obviously people must ask you for it. So if you ever watch Mighty Ducks, the head coach was.
Was it Goldberg?
No, wasn't a Goldberg one. What's the name of the head coach?
Bombay.
No, it was Gordon Bombay's original, the jersey that where the dude chopped his leg. I have that jersey, that purple Gordon Bombay jersey. And then I do have a Banks jersey for my kid, or a sweater for my kid. And then I got a Channing Frye. I got a lot of, I was in a sweater mode for a second. I was, my son was in a hockey and I was like wearing all these. But okay, so regardless of me, we're not here about me, right? People hear enough. What are your top three jerseys, non just sports, that fly off the shelves?
Ooh, it changes a lot. But consistently, the Mighty Ducks definitely up there. The Bel Air Academy, Will Smith, that's a classic. Trying to think, what else? We have like Obama's high school one.
Wow.
The Punahou one, that one did pretty well for a bit.
Sounds like a bad word, but okay.
Yeah.
How do the celebrity jerseys compare to the NBA jerseys?
They're hit or miss. So like, if we partner with a rapper at the right time, like it'll pop off.
Okay.
But, you know, sometimes they'll only sell, like, I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, but sometimes they'll sell, like, a couple hundred.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously which you don't have still, to throw anyone. Which is still good. He's just not like, oh, it's not making me millions. Right?
Oh,
so,
shoot.
Right. Yeah.
What is one that you thought in your mind, and maybe you don't have to, you know, don't have to give us the exact details. What is one that you were like, yo, this is fitting to fly off the shelf, and this thing got crickets?
It's controversial.
What is it?
So when Bernie Sanders was running for president, I tried a Bernie Sanders USA one.
Yeah.
And I thought it would crush it because he was big with the college audience.
Yeah, yeah.
We sold two of them.
Oh my God.
No way.
Yeah. His audience didn't have that they kind of spending.
They were like, well, habit. We like him, but you're not worth $75.
But we're going to stop there.
Yeah.
What was your first one that you did?
Have you sold some Trump jerseys?
Oh, I might get canceled for this. Yeah, I went viral for the Trump one.
Did you?
Yeah.
Because it was flying off the shelf.
Tell us that story.
I mean, dude, this is we're capitalism. We have no affiliation. Hey, we're just here having drugs.
Listen, you're here, bro. You're here. I have no
affiliations.
Your job is to like run a business, run a company. Like there's, you know. 50, however many millions of people.
Give the people what they want.
Like, strike when it's hot.
Yeah.
Faux show.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went viral for that one. Someone wore it to a high school football game, and the what are they called? Principal kicked them out of the game.
No.
All over the news the next day.
And then all of a sudden, everyone just bought it.
Everyone bought it after that, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What are the chances? Lucky duck.
And we actually got him one of the jerseys, too.
Yeah,
someone at one of his rallies handed him one of the jerseys.
There's no way he fits it. I'm just gonna be honest.
Yeah, I don't think he put it on, but it was still dope. Yeah,
it's so dope. What about
crazy.
I was thinking of a jersey that may be pretty obscure, but like any jerseys from the Blue Chips, like Neon Bordeaux or who is the farmer guy or the penny.
I've tried selling those. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got one if you want it.
Okay. Tight. A Neon Bordeaux one would be absolute fire.
I was actually going to ask if you could make us road tripping jerseys.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I made jerseys for the First We Feast podcast and a couple other pods.
Oh, so, tight.
Should we do jerseys or sweaters?
Oh, hockey sweaters are way better than jerseys, to be honest. Oh, but you guys live in LA, though, so it's different. I live in Oregon. I'm going to get a lot more use out of mine. Can you give them jerseys and give me a sweater?
Yeah, I could do a basketball one for you guys and then sweater for Channing.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Sure.
What is your favorite? That'd be awesome. Go ahead, Richard.
Wait. This is my question. Because you wear a lot of hats and you've actually had a lot of experiences in different spaces, what are three like fucking mistakes that you have made? Because, and when I say mistakes, they're in more of like learning lessons, like, ooh, don't do that shit again, right? Or like, you know, hey, if I had to go back and tell myself this or tell someone in business school or whatever it is, but just what are like a couple of mistakes that stand out to you that kind of, you know, just change like your
trajectory,
your kind of vision on things? Yeah.
First one that popped ahead right away, and I think a lot of people in business struggle with this one, is choosing your business partner.
Yeah.
I've had some crazy partners. I mean, I work very hard, so it's hard for me to find like an equal partner. But yeah, once the money starts coming in, people start changing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So how big is your
Richard
team?
Changed. Look at him. He looks like Lex Luthor now, like a tan-ass Lex Luthor.
He doesn't even want to show up for us. Kidding. How big is your team?
So at Infinite World, this is my first job ever, actually. So I'm getting used to this corporate lifestyle, but there's like 100 employees there.
Damn.
Yeah.
And you're in charge of all of them.
No, I'm the VP. So I have my own little team of like five, but
okay.
Yeah. So
still
that's
a lot.
Yeah. Usually I've been solo or with one or two people, but the one or two people thing never really worked out for me, unfortunately.
Okay. So choosing your team.
Choosing your team. Probably taxes, because they don't teach you that in school, is the second one.
It's crazy.
So you think you're making all this money and then.
Uncle Sam said, pay a bitch.
I'm going to be honest with you. When we did our whole thing and road tripping continued to grow, I actually sent you that. And you're probably like, Allie, no shit. I already know this.
Yeah.
But I need to like tell myself that over and over and over.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You got to, yeah.
And if you see, just go ahead and get at half.
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
You order a double cheeseburger, you really getting a regular hamburger. No ketchup, no sauce.
No cheese, no bun.
You better not put an onion on there.
Yeah. And then the last one's probably just surrounding yourself with the right people. I feel like my first few years, I was just surrounding myself with people just trying to party and go out and stuff. But now it's like I'm around, you know, billionaires, multimillionaires, and it's elevated what I do.
Damn.
That is so impressive.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Because you become who you surround yourself with. So
what is it? What's a day in the life of Sean Kelly?
Don't tell me that. Damn it.
What's a day in the life of Sean Kelly?
Yeah. Wake up pretty excited.
Wake up really excited.
Yeah, I'm more so happy that I'm just content with what I'm doing, because it took a lot of years of grinding to get here. But we're talking with a lot of big brands right now, and we just hope to help them launch NFTs and get in the Web3 space. Infinite World did the NFT for McLaren, the car company.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we're sort of just leveraging that to open more doors.
So obviously you're still doing
it. I just got a ticket. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm saying I just got a ticket. I went to the game last night, and then it goes into this wallet. It was like, hey, like your NFT. And it's like, oh, you get like a digital NFT from the ticket. But it had even my, because I went to the Super Bowl and the NFC Championship game, and it had them in there. And it's cool to have it, but I'm just trying to figure out like where's the value in that? Now, I know you give a free NFT or like whatever, but like where is the value is only basically what somebody else would give you for it. Right. So it's like, how do these things even, and not and I know not every NFT has value. I understand that. I'm just saying that, like, how do people dictate the value?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think there's different types of NFTs. There's some where are just purely for collectors. So people just want to collect digital art and flex it. There's some NFTs where you'll be able to get discounts. Like there's an airline, forget which one, but they launched an NFT and you get discounts on all their flights. You get access to their lounge. So I think stuff like that's pretty cool. And then, yeah, there's NFTs that brands like Starbucks announced they're launching one. I'm not sure what they're doing yet, but yeah, it's all what kind of value you're willing to provide with the NFT.
How competitive is it?
In terms of marketing them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of companies. Like Dapper Labs is the one that did NBAs. They're probably the biggest. They're worth like $10 billion. Then there's other ones. So it's decently competitive.
I think, so I know a little bit about this space. And when I say a little bit, like on a 1 to 10, I know probably a 2. After that big old surge and that bubble popped, right? And everyone's like, oh, because everyone was coming out with all these NFTs. And like, you know, let's say 100 people come out with NFTs and 10 of them are actually like valuable or have like longevity in 90. So all that enthusiasm towards NFTs kind of exploded. And everyone's like, you know, F this. How does the NFT space get back to somewhat? Because that was a crazy time where people were paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for things. Millions. We're now millions.
Yeah.
Where now you would look at that value might be 5x less than that. Right? More than that? And so how do you get back into that space where you create trust with the customer? And so like Ali and Richard, who know Zilcho about this, how do they understand more about not only Web3, but like NFTs? And how do you encourage them to learn more without feeling like, oh, like your grandparents trying to redo the VHS set, right?
Yeah. Well, part of that crash, I think, was due to crypto crashing, which sort of caused NFTs to crash. I mean, crypto got wrecked. And then also, I feel like a lot of celebrities and athletes just got used and they didn't really know what they were getting themselves into. So you saw these NBA players launching NFTs and they really had no idea what they were signing up for. So now they're basically saying they're scams and rug pulls, but people were just learning, I think. And it was the wild, wild west at first. Volume is down 98%. You know, pricing is down 90%+. So yeah, it's definitely a bear market. But I think the big brands, as long as they keep providing value and utility, the NFT market will be fine.
How does the interactive element of your Chibidanos work?
So we just try to reward our holders are basketball fans. So we'll try to get them on Zoom calls with NBA players. We'll get them, you know, tickets to games. Just provide as much value with basketball related stuff because they're huge fans of that. So giving them opportunities they wouldn't have otherwise, basically.
Interesting. Dude. Between the NFT space,
how do I sign up
in a Jersey space? Well, you gotta pay for shit, Richard. Cheap ass. Between NFT Web3 space and the Jersey space, which one? And I know probably know the answer, but I'm asking because I'm stupid. Which one did you have a point where you were like, "Damn, I'm so happy I've reached this goal." It could be little. It could be like, you know, now like you know your Jersey. You know, stores just running. You're like, oh, or is it like the NFT where you're drinking some tequila with your girl and you're seeing the money roll in after, you know, making it, you know, doing all that with the dinos? Yeah.
I mean, I love the Jersey space. I love the e-commerce space, but the margins are so thin with e-commerce. Right. Like you're only taking home 20% after all the expenses.
Right.
With NFTs, the margins are, you know, could be 80, 90, 95%.
Right.
So you're working a lot less for more money. So I like the NFT space more in terms of money.
Right.
Yeah, that sounds.
I mean, that makes
that
sense.
That sounds right.
Right.
Having said that, do you have a jersey that you're working on that you're excited about? You don't have to give it away if it is there. Like, what's the next?
No, we did Chibidanos jerseys, which I thought were cool, but nothing planned right now.
Nothing planned.
Yeah.
So during the during the NBA season, do you have a team? Are you a 76ers fan?
I'm a LeBron fan, so.
I'm sorry.
The Lakers right now.
Yeah. I'm just joking.
Can you
totally
please
joking.
Give some more enthusiasm to that?
No, I know.
He said, I'm a Lakers
so
fan.
So if I were to say, right now, you're on the spot, where are the Lakers fit? What do you think about the roster? I just want your opinion as a LeBron
fan,
Lakers fan. What do you see in your heart? What do you feel? Okay, he's going to listen to this. And he's probably going to be mad at
you, actually.
And I actually want to know from Jersey how you became a LeBron fan.
Yeah, that's a good question.
He was busting Richard's ass. That's what. He said, no more, Richard.
Well, I was a Nets fan, but once they went to Brooklyn, I kind of got lost a little bit every year. And now I'm not even a Nets fan. But yeah, I just want him to get 7, honestly. So that's why I'm a fan. I like his game and like watching him.
Okay. Damn. So then your thoughts on the Lakers?
Thoughts on the Lakers? I'm thinking, you know, 4 or 5 seed this year.
Ooh, in what conference?
In the Western Conference. Let's do it.
Oh, the West Coast Conference?
I like the confidence.
So this year, like with
sports. You got to like show it.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, but I'm actually curious, right? So we do this for a living, and you're in a completely different space, right? And just completely different. what, like, about this NBA season or even the NFL season, what is something that you look at like, damn, okay, I can't wait for this to happen, or I'm excited for this team other than LeBron? And what's your NFL team? Let's say the Eagles.
I don't watch too much NFL. It used to be the Giants when I lived in Jersey, though.
No wonder. Mm. Yeah, I wouldn't watch either. Trash.
Do you have any jerseys for the Little Giants?
Oh, yeah. The ice. Is that the Icebox one?
Yes. Don't talk about my mama. Yeah. Dude, I love that part.
That's a good one.
Dead. Remember the little kid? It was like.
I actually like that movie. I've seen that one.
It's a great movie. Little Giants?
Little Giants, yeah.
It's shockingly inspirational once you're an adult in a trying time. You're like, I just need one win. I just need one win.
It's very inspirational. Yeah. So when you leave here tonight, Sean, you're going to go home and work?
I might, probably not. I usually stop at like 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've been able to find that balance.
Yeah. It took 5-6 years, but yeah, finally found it.
You've been doing this for how long?
Since I was at Rutgers. So yeah, 6 years.
6 years. Wow.
Damn. Yeah.
And it's taken this whole time. Did you hear that? 5-6 years.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, when did I leave college? Yeah. It's taken this long. I'm 39. It took me 17 years. Yeah.
Look, we are so impressed with you. We were so excited to have you join us. Obviously, when I mentioned that you could be a guest, Channing right away was like, I've got some of his jerseys, sweaters. So thank you for stopping by. Is there anything that we've missed? Anything you want to push out there? You want to let the people know? Obviously, Sean Mike Kelly on Instagram. And then for jerseys, jersey-champs.com.
Yeah, jersey-champs.com. And then Chibi Dinos is chibidinos.io.
Chibidinos.io.
Yeah, .com was taken, so I had to do that.
Wow. So you just created a new...
A new ending, yes.
Oh, look at that.
You don't want to pay the guy.
Wait, how much can he ask you?
This man can do whatever he wants.
How much did that guy, whoever, that person, they own the IP address, so, or the name. How much did they ask you for when you wanted it?
They wanted like 6 figures, I think. So yeah, I was like, nah.
What?
But yeah, chibidinos.com. It's like, dude, you know how America works.
Look, I'm gonna give you the floor. Your last piece of advice to someone. I know you talked about it earlier, what it took for you, but I'm just work hard. Like, what
last piece of advice? I hate to be generic.
I don't even know.
I'm throwing this.
Throw the football.
Wow.
When you're in a rut, what do you tell yourself?
When I'm in the rut, everything's gonna be okay. That's so generic. God damn it.
No.
But generic, and like they say, oh, it's so cliche. It's like, the reason why it's cliche is because it's fucking true.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you've got to have that mindset. Like, fuck it. Everything's going to be all right. Yeah. Everything's going to be, you know, everything's going to be okay. Right? Whatever you're stressing on, whatever project you're working on, whatever is going to fail, but everything's going to be okay. I respect it.
Facts.
Tight.
Totes. Rich, you're on his favorite Nets starting five. Oh, kudos to you, Sean Kelly. Lying. You're amazing. Song, thank you so much for stopping
Thanks
by
for
with
having
us.
Guys. Dude,
cannot wait to get our jerseys and sweater. Shout out.
I got you.
Yes.
You're amazing. Go check them out.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. As he heads out of here, Rich, Channing, what are you guys going to create that breaks the internet?
I was actually thinking about this, Rich. How good are the, like?
You guys, that was impressive. That is impressive.
Yeah. He's different beast now. He's a different beast. When you're like, oh, I did this and I stopped this and then did this and made this and did that and did.
Dinos.
He's a different beast. And there's still longevity to all this. So he's like still in that space in a sense of now somebody's paying him to do what he was doing and he's doing it because he wants to, not because he has to. It makes him very dangerous.
Yeah, well, yeah, and he's like, I'm very content. I wake up very happy. Like,
think about
what is a typical day is a question that a million people have been asked a million different times. Have you ever heard somebody say, I wake up very happy?
No.
Can I tell you, I woke up this morning and I shared this with Channing. I want to stick my finger in your mouth so bad. Do not yawn. You're in Vegas. Drink. I woke up this morning and in a matter of 5 minutes, my makeup artist, both their flights were canceled. Richard sent me COVID tests. Wow. And Channing sends me a text that says, hey, Allie, I'm in a book club. You think you can stop by the bookstore at LAX and pick up a book?
I'm trying to engage my noggin.
I think there's one individual here that wakes up happy every morning.
No, I do not. Because some nights, you know, listen, I'm also in the wine game, y'all. Trying to do things with chosen.
Long, you have some long nights. You be having some long nights, Jay. Is something you want to talk about?
No, it's just when you're entertaining. Like, I love being able to entertain people and like give them wines that they've never had, or like, oh, I usually don't drink this, but oh my god, this is great. And then all of a sudden, like, it turns into later than, and then my kids get up at seven on the dot. Now I'm like, dang, got this wine hangover. You got to shake that off some days. You can't be happy-go-lucky. No. You got to get to it. Richard's greatest advice
was
Channing. The earlier you wake up, the earlier you can shake the hangover off. And then shake it off and then take a nap. I don't think he ever remembers telling me that.
I'm not sure I agree with that.
Because staying in bed doesn't solve the issue. It just have to get up
kills,
and move around.
It just kills the day. You got to get up. You get up, do something, then take a nap.
Yes.
When you come out the nap, you'll feel a lot better.
A lot better.
But if you just lay around, if you go to bed at 3 a.m. and you lay in bed till 2 p.m., you don't feel great at 3 or 4.
What happens when you don't open your eyes until 3 or 4, though?
That means you have narcolepsy.
Yeah.
You have a sleeping problem.
I actually did a narcoleptic sleep study.
It's like, how much drinking did you do, Allie? Like, there's a difference between Allie?
My point is sometimes you just have to sleep it off.
Yeah.
Damn, Allie and John Daly drink.
Oh, did you guys see that?
Okay, first of all, that hurt my heart. Can we talk about this? I have one of the all-time top 10 worst first pitches ever.
Ever.
Right? Because it was a tornado warning.
Yes. That's a
my
lie.
My shirt was top 10. So Richard warned me afterwards. I in my life have never thrown a baseball off a mound. And then I've never thrown to somebody crouched in a like a catcher thing.
That would be a catcher.
Yeah, but he was crouched down. I was like, hey, yo, this is really hard.
That's a catcher does.
How did we get there?
So John Daly goes up, crusty flip-flops, glasses, and throws an absolute heater down the middle, and everyone, he's notoriously known for being half on the wagon, right, all the time, half on the sauce, and I'm like, damn it.
Did you see his belly flop?
No, he belly flopped?
No. Oh.
John Daly is turning into like Chuck Norris for our generation now.
John Daly's been that guy. He is that dude, but like, I don't know. He just like to me, it's like he's so funny, but like there's a part of it where you're just like, ooh. John, is John having too much fun? John,
is there such a thing?
Hey, John. Yes.
Dude, John's getting bags now because people are like, dude, I just want to play with John Daly with no shoes. Probably going to take his shirt off. He's going to hit two over and he's going to be half sauced up by the third hole and just talking shit, absolutely clobbering the whole place.
I'd pay to golf with John Daly.
Oh, for sure.
I was going to say, it kind of reminds me of someone that you guys are going to be in about 15 years.
What?
That's kind of the lifestyle.
No way.
Why?
No. Allie, I'm going to be a yoga teacher in 15 years.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it. The last time we did yoga, you exited the room.
I was definitely hungover.
I'm going to be in the mountains or on a beach.
I did not read the fine print of how it was heated yoga after a night at Shellbacks. I thought we were just doing meditative yoga where I could have just barely sweat out the booze. Yeah. But
no.
Wait, Richard, I do have a basketball question. I know we are just going off tangents about everything. Who is going to have a better year? The New Orleans Pelicans? Or the Toronto Raptors?
Random.
Ooh. Ooh. Awesome. Ooh.
That's a great. I was thinking about things on an airplane.
How about this?
Thoughts.
No. Okay. So between the two of them, I think
No what ifs.
No. Hear me out. I think they both have the same type of season. I think they both, in my opinion, are second round teams if they have a great year. If they have a great year and if they're healthy, if they're this, you know, that, because again, that's what we're always assuming, that like this roster for the most part can get there 95% healthy, 90% healthy, right? If they can do that, I think they can make it to the second round. I could see them winning a first round matchup, losing in the second round. And I see the same thing for the Pelicans. So if we're going to go basketball, I don't think either of them like have like whatever better season. I assume that that's what they're capable of, building on what they did last year, going to the playoffs. Their guys are a little bit more older. Scotty Barnes comes in a little bit better. They'll get Zion Williamson back, you know, in New Orleans. You know, you saw what CJ McCollum did. So, boom, all of a sudden those guys go from a great first round to get into the second round.
I would argue that the Pelicans have more attention on them out of those two teams. Okay?
Oh, for sure.
What is a successful, what would deem them a successful season?
Yeah, I'm actually curious. You make a good point, shockingly. This is the first.
Me?
No, Richard. What is a good season for the Cavs? With all this now, with this new...
Conference finals.
Ooh, what? Conference finals?
Richard.
You're lying.
That's so... What? Richard, stop it. Don't do that to
them. They didn't make the playoffs last year.
Don't do that to those kids.
And now you're putting them in the conference finals?
No. But hear me out.
We got no choice.
What is a great season for the Cavs? What is a great season? Now, yes, they didn't make the postseason, right, but they were the seventh seed and they lost two games. 2-3 years ago, they make the postseason. 50 years ago. For like the last 70 years, minus the last 2 years, they are a postseason team. They lost two single game eliminations, whatever. So like traditionally, that's like they're a playoff team in my eyes. So now they had that mistake and now they're going to build on that and they get one of the best players. They don't really lose anything substantial. They just lose like a ton of picks. And you get Donovan Mitchell, the ultimate closer, because that's where they struggled the most in closing games. Evan Mobley is great. He's not a closer. Jared Allen's not a closer. They were hoping that Caris LeVert could be that guy. Never really manifested. Darius Garland is a great scorer player, but he's not like this elite game finisher. And I think Donovan Mitchell is, especially in the regular season. He just has to do it in the postseason. So for me, if those guys were to end up being the 3 seed or the 2 seed, at the All-Star break, they were the 3 seed or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so it's like if they were to be the 2 seed and, you know, have a, you know, win tight, you know, they should win the first round, have a battle in the second and lose in the conference finals, I think that would be a great season for them.
Okay, good insight. I like that. Good breakdown. I actually was hanging on to this because we are going to actually do a couple NBA preview breakdown shows coming up. But the information that came out today is not a part of that. So we're going to end this podcast with your thoughts. First and foremost, the in-season tournament.
Love it.
Oh, yeah.
Really? We love this? We're excited about it. Okay, in-season tournament framework could start. Now, granted, the NBA and the NBAPA are still finalizing some of the details. But as of today, the framework could start 23-24 season. Cup games through November. 8 teams advance to single elimination final in December. Other 22 teams continue the regular season. And then all games part of an 82-game schedule, one extra for 2 final teams. There's like prizes, et cetera, that are still being worked out, a part of all of this.
What do you win if you win that tournament?
That's what
they're working out. They're like, players, with all due respect, they're going to be like, oh, you know, it's crazy. Like,
if it's a top 10 pick.
No, I don't know.
Think about what that would do.
Stop it. There's no way.
I'm just saying, like, that would motivate, but that would motivate your lower teams to play dumb hard and also your top teams to play hard. So imagine Milwaukee Bucks go, we're going to play this way anyways, whether we're playing this tournament or not. And then all of a sudden, all the picks, think about the Lakers. Hey, we get a top 10 pick. I'm just saying, they're good. They only have so many picks. Imagine they had an opportunity to get an extra
something that
pick.
They could, yeah.
Yes, and motivate the old crusty butts to play really hard in November, December.
They're not old anymore. Stop it.
I mean, they're oldish.
Wow.
I'm going to say they're old. As long as
25 and a half is the average.
As long as LeBron Robert Parrish is playing.
Dud. What, Rich?
LeBron Redwood LeBron Tree Robert. Age.
He said LeBron Robert Parrish is playing. I'm stealing
Yeah, play with Bronny's kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so wait, what were you going to say about it?
So my big thing, I just don't want them to play less than 82. I don't. True. I'm not into the 60 game season. I'm
clearly
not into the 70.
We know your take.
I'm just saying. It's like, so as long as you, and I like this format. It's like, yo, I have no problem shaking up how you do it. They've been doing that since I was in the league. Like, I've teams of New Orleans went from one conference to the next conference. We're not sitting here or even expansion. We're not sitting here trying to be purist, but there is something about trying to achieve like what all the professionals before you did. And that's playing that amount of game. So I just don't think they should change that at all. But if you can do a tournament, they could do 12 tournaments. I don't care. Just play 82 games. Like, who gives a shit? Like, I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great idea to add a midseason excitable thing for teams that, like, look, do you think Cleveland, imagine if Cleveland would have won it, right? But then they didn't make the playoffs because they had injuries late in the season. So there's something to be said about giving a fan base something to be really excited about.
Do you think this is an indication of the season being, like, blah, like boring?
No,
like,
why the it's change? Motivating the players, the older players, I think, and Richard can say, I would say 50% of the players that are playing, 50%, and I could be wrong, are not in elite game shape until after the new year. I think this gets teams way more motivated during training camp, summer camp, staying in shape during the summer. When guys go, oh, I just want to play myself into shape. No, you got to be in shape coming into camp and then really be on point. Like, things mean things in October, November. Teams go, okay, we could lose. We can miss 4 or 5 games and still make them up once we get rolling. Mm-hmm. Now the teams that are younger, who are hot from the beginning, can take advantage of this tournament because they've been doing, you know, quote-unquote training camp or preseason camp for months ahead of time, preparing for it. So it just, the people who are prepared for the season and ready for the season, want to win early, get rewarded for that. And you get to see more of those teams on TV. Like a team like, for instance, the Clippers, where they've been stricken with injuries, but you're literally like, you know, top 4 team in the league when your players are healthy, that tournament doesn't mean anything to you. Mm-hmm. That tournament's like, okay, whatever, thank you, next. We want to win the real thing. But other teams like
no, Cleveland. but the tournament, but make it a thing. There should be a trophy. There should be an MVP. There should be, you know what I'm saying? There should, like, that. I think all of those things add. You can add if you're contributing to the game in a positive way, which obviously, you know, Adam Silver and the league is doing. But this is one that I think universally you could have a midseason awards. You're not awards, but like a midseason tournament MVP.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, certain things that, like, think about, blocks weren't always a statistic that was recorded in the league. Like, the league is going to always evolve. I don't think it's the league being blah. I think the six having the seven, was it the six, seven, eight? Is it the seven, eight? Seven, eight. Having the 7-8 be in the play-in now. Mm-hmm. That's changed so many things. Oh. It's changed so many things. And just that, just by making that little play-in tournament. And so I think that just shows that there's room for more excitement. And I think that's what it is. The play-in tournament and even the build-up to it at the end is excitement. And I think that's what this mid-season tournament will do, just more excitement.
If you could give one incentive for it in terms of, like, what a prize needs to look like or award or reward needs to be, what would you say they should include as the NBA and the NBA?
It has to do with the lottery, right? It has to do with the lottery.
You want the draft.
No.
It would have to be an extra lottery ball.
That's the team. As a player, I don't like the
but
team.
See, Richard,
I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck what the team gets. If I win this tournament, I might be a free agent. I don't care what they get.
Yeah,
I want to know what
you're
getting.
You're getting me.
Let's talk about professional sports.
You're getting right. Okay,
thanks
let's talk about,
it
let's talk about
this professional sports.
This
is professional sport. Me.
If you're as a player, if you're on a boo boo team, if you're on a rebuilding team, and you want to showcase your skills and get paid, you will showcase them early. It allows you as a player to be put under the bright lights and to get seen and to create value for yourself. Because most bad teams are like, well, how are we just going to lose? In this opportunity, the team would want to win to get an extra pick, and the players would want to win to showcase themselves in the bright lights in the stage.
Okay. Allie, I know I can hear your brain. And you're like, Channing, we agree with that 100%. Now tell us again, the question was, what do the players get? They don't give a fuck about picks. The players
association. No, I'm saying the players.
Like, okay, we're going to end on this. 1 second.
What's the money?
We're going to end on this.
What
20 2017 Cavs.
Yep.
That roster, that personnel. Correct, Richard. Y'all don't care about the draft. Y'all don't care about the lottery. So what as players would you want to come out of that tournament?
You'd have to pay us.
Yeah. Did you hear?
Yes. No, they're going to pay.
You'd have to pay us.
So how much? How much? How much? How much?
What was the needle?
There we go. Now we're getting it. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Because you got to understand, some guys are going to be making 50, 60, 70 million.
I was semi-poor. I'm talking half a
million dollars a player.
A million dollars a player. Hey, let's split the TV deal. Let's split that individual TV deal. Is the better that
that's
we do?
That's probably what they. Well, no, because that'll be a part of the TV deal. They
would that make you
that.
Wake
It'll
up happy?
Be an addition.
Ooh,
shout daddy. Out to Sean
hey,
Kelly.
You, that, you get
this. Baby need a new coat.
A million a player would be.
Unless you go ahead, bench players out there playing like torpedoes.
What?
Goodbye,
what?
Mic drop. We are in Vegas.
You know
we
exciting?
Have.
Do you know how excited those guys will be? Like a Final Four, and then teams are playing. Like I don't care who you are, $1 million bonus for winning a four game. Like,
what does the broadcast partners get?
The season.
We got to wrap this
what?
Up.
What?
Rich, hope to see you in Vegas.
Yeah, I hope to see you.
Possibly another edition of Road Trippin'.